Okay, so I hope at this point you guys are, you know that Yerushalmi basically off by heart. So let's look at the Yerushalmi. So where we had left off in the Bavli, we had noted that the Bavli made three assumptions. And for the Bavli, it required all three assumptions to forbid blowing the shofar on Shabbos midoraita. And because the Bavli was not willing to accept all three, it opts instead for understanding the prohibition as being rabbinic, being Gzeira Dirabba, the concern of carrying Arba Amot Birshud Harabim. But within the Deoraita, so what were the three assumptions, at least, that the Bavli made in order to make its claim? Let's just review where we were.
That Zichron Tru was an Isser.
Right. One is that the only thing that would prohibit, right, that the only thing that would prohibit, sorry, the only justification to distinguish between Shabbat and Chol is an Isser, right, which is derived from Trua Zichron Trua. That was assumption one. Assumption two is that that Isser must rise to the level of
Malacha.
Of Malacha, right? And the third is that it makes no sense that if something is Usser for it to be different between the Mikdash and right, Mikdash and the and outside and the Gulin. Okay? Okay. But yeah, I know. Well, someone was here. They were eating a minute ago, but now no one's here. You want to say hello? You don't have to say hello. Okay, fine. So let's, before we even look at the Yerushalmi, which of those three assumptions would you guess, before looking at the Yerushalmi, would you have guessed that someone who wants to prohibit blowing the shofar d'oraita outside the Mikdash and permit it in the Mikdash, right, which of those three assumptions is most difficult to challenge and which of the most is easiest to challenge? So let's go one by one. How likely is it that anyone believes, or either Talmud believes, let's say, that blowing the shofar is a malacha? Right? How likely is that?
Pretty likely.
Is it? Why would you say it's a malacha? Give me a good piece of evidence why. Well, if you want to claim that it is a malacha, good. So give me a proof. Why would you think it's malacha? What would support that thesis?
That it's mitakin.
Oh, so Gavi is already sensing the problem, right? Is that in order for it to be malacha, you've got to give me one of the malachot that it is. Because we know it's not its own malacha, because remember, both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are interpreting, right? They're interpretive texts in the end of the day on the Tanaitic layer. Right? The Mishnah is pretty clear. If you've ever learned the seventh parak of Shabbat, you know that how many malachot are there?
39.
And are any of them tokeya? No. Right? None of them are. So if you wanted to say it's malacha, so then you have to find a malacha that it's in. Right? Now, what malacha that is not obvious at all. You know, I can't. Nothing comes to mind, right? Makavapatish, sure, because anything can be makavapatish, literally, right? The Yerushalmi's position is exactly that, that literally anything can be makavapatish. That is the way the Yerushalmi frames it. Makavapatish is the final hammer blow, sorry. Yes, Adam. Yeah, Adam. Yeah, go.
Which one is makavapatish again?
The final hammer blow, hitting the final hammer blow, which is a catch-all malacha for basically anything, and in the Yerushalmi it really is. Meaning the Yerushalmi has this very, very strange passage in the seventh parak of Shabbat, where it says that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish sat around one day, and you know, people would basically bring them actions, and they'd say, oh, that's Zoreya, that's Kotzer, that's Bona. And if something came to them, and they didn't know what it was, they just said, it's Makavapatish. Right? And the Yerushalmi, it really does sound like Makavapatish, the way Rav Asher Weiss takes it, in several tshuvot about electricity, and I think Aleph Lamed Dalet, or Aleph Lamed Tet, something like that, and Chadasher, and all follow-up tshuvot, is that the Yerushalmi's view is that makavapatish is anything which is undoubtedly creative, but doesn't neatly fit into any other malacha category. So if we wanted to call it makavapatish because it's a catch-all, I mean, sure, I don't really know what process it's finishing. I mean, maybe it's fulfilling a halachic requirement or something like that. It is true, as a general statement, that the Yerushalmi is much more machmir on making noise on Shabbat than the Bavli. much more machmir. So that is true. So it is possible that the Yerushalmi thinks that making noise is actually malacha oriented. Just to give you an example, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but right, the Mishnah in Beitza tells you you're not allowed in Maraktan in Metapchen, which according to the Bavli means you can't sing and dance. And you can't make noise that's musical in nature, because you might fix the instrument. The Yerushalmi paskins that you're not allowed to knock on doors. Right, that's the Yerushalmi's expansion of this. Right, you're not allowed to knock on doors. I think I mentioned this last year, Gavi. Say it again.
What are you supposed to do, barge in?
No, so I think I didn't mention this last year. Maybe I mentioned it 2 years ago, that I knew someone in the Heights who was machmir on this, and it was insane. He used to come up to the door, stick his head in next to the keyhole, and just scream, "Hello, hello, hello!" Like it was unreal. It was like that's not how we paskin. For the record, it's not in the Bavli. It is in the Yerushalmi, but the Bavli very distinctly does not say this. So it's possible. Right, it is possible. Gavi is correct. It is possible to say that you could construct a position in which which blowing a shofar is not only usher, but it's usher as a malacha. But it's going to take a bit of mental gymnastics, because the Mishnah is quite clear, and unless the Gemara has a fancy interpretation that shoves it into a pre-existing malacha, or has some breita that allows it to have a 40th malacha, it's unlikely that it is a malacha, right? So let's look at the Yerushalmi, and let's see what the Yerushalmi actually thinks. But let's see if it does think it's a malacha, okay? Let's read the Yerushalmi very, very carefully. Rega. Okay, I'll pull it up, and we'll go to the Yerushalmi. You know, I'm sure you noticed that the language is harder. I am very impressed by how much you seem to have understood just from following your messages on the WhatsApp group. Let us take the Yerushalmi. Okay, no one's in the room. Okay, fine. So let's go to the Yerushalmi. And okay, is anyone going to be brave enough to read this?
I can read it.
Oh, look at you. You guys are really brave. I've had trouble in the past of getting people to be brave enough to read. Gavi was always brave, but not everyone in my share is that brave. Here I have multiple people. Though there are some people who have still been silent, and I expect at some point you'll get over that fear. If not, I'll have to force you. But I'll still give you some time before I do that. Fine. So let's pick up from the Yerushalmi itself, right? We've read the Mishnah, so here's the beginning of the Yerushalmi. Okay? Let's go.
Okay, so Gemara... Rabbi Abba Bar Papa, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi.
Lakish. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. It's Reish Lakish in the Bavli. Lakish. Right, Reish Lakish in the Bavli, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish in the Yerushalmi here.
Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Evon Yatevon Mikashe. They were sitting on a question.
Good. How do you know that Yatevon is sit, both in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi?
Yeah.
Tuf is interchangeable with what letter in Shin. Aramaic? Shin. Right, so they were sitting, yeah.
Mikashe on a question. Or a difficulty. Amrin Taninan, they were like saying a Mishnah. Yotel Shor Rosh Hashanah.
Right, Yom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah.
Yom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah, Shechol Yod B'Shabbat, that falls on a Shabbat. But Mikdash HaYotokin, in the Mikdash you would blow, Aval Lo B'Medina, but not in the country. Not in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, so now... good, so okay, just be careful here, because this is Yerushalmi Aramaic, but
yes,
in... Right, so in Dvar Torahu, that's the equivalent of Im. Right, I know you could get very confused here, but in Yerushalmi, in Dvar Torahu is the equivalent of saying im Dvar Torahu. If it's biblical,
in Dvar Torahu, if it's midraita, afikvulan yidche, even in the borders, you would reject it.
No, yidche, it should override Shabbat. Right, in Dvar Torahu, right, if the obligation to blow the shofar on Shabbat is biblical, af bigvulan yidche. Then even outside the Mikdash, you should be allowed to blow on Shabbat. Right? Remember, this is the end of the Bavli. The Yerushalmi is front-loading the question, the final statement of the Bavli. Right? So, yeah. In Dvar Torah, if the obligation to blow the shofar is biblical, af b'gvulin yidche. then even in the then outside it should override. Okay.
In lesser developed Torah, if it's not a midoraita,
meaning if the obligation to blow is not biblical,
even in the mikdash, they shouldn't be able to blow the shofar.
Okay, good. Now, did you first thing, first impressions? How? Right, what is very strikingly different about the Yerushalmi from the Bavli? Very striking. Right.
It's not really separating the mikdash from.
Right, so first of all, it's not, right, meaning it doesn't want to separate, but there's more. According to the Bavli, it started on the assumption that what would drive the difference between the, right, what is the fundamental category that the Bavli is working in?
That the Mikdash you're allowed to blow in, whereas Vulin you can't.
Well, that's the specific. What's the overall framework? The entire discussion in the Bavli. Not the Yerushalmi Chiyuv. What's the framing in the Bavli?
The Yerushalmi is trying to figure out whether or not it's
or well, let me put it a little bit differently. In the Bavli, the assumption is that what distinguishes. Remember, I said this all at the beginning. The assumption, if I just read this line of the Yerushalmi, I'd say, in the Bavli, what distinguishes Shabbat and Chol is an Isser. But notice, the Yerushalmi has no Isser. The Yerushalmi is assuming what? What's biblical? The mitzvah. Right? The starting point is the mitzvah. Is if the mitzvah is biblical, it should override Shabbat. If the mitzvah is not biblical, then it should not override Shabbat. Neither in the Mikdash or outside the Mikdash. In the Bavli, it's the Isser shouldn't be different between the Mikdash and Vulin, but the framing is the right is the Isser, not the Mitzvah. Yeah, Ezra, go.
But doesn't the use of the word Yidcheh, like the past that it overrides, implies that there is like an Isser there?
Correct. 100%. Right? I mean, the Yerushalmi is starting with the assumption that it's Usser, right? With the assumption that it's Usser, or should be Usser, and then saying, right, if there's a mitzvah that could override the Isser, it should override everywhere, right? But the starting point is, maybe there's an Isser. We don't know what that Isser is. But if there's an Isser and there's a mitzvah, the mitzvah should override whether you're in the Mikdash or not, right? Meaning, it assumes an Isser, but remember, this is very different in the framing of the Bavli. The Bavli said if it's Usser, it should be Usser everywhere. The Yerushalmi says, who cares if it's Usser? If it's a mitzvah, it should override an Isser no matter where you are. Right? That's a radically different framing. Right? That's a radically different framing. Right? The Bavli starts with, it can't be Usser, because if it's Usser, it should be Usser everywhere. The Yerushalmi says, yeah, it's probably Usser, but who cares if it's Usser, as long as it's the mitzvah d'oraita, so then you could override the Usser wherever you happen to be. Right? Meaning, the Yerushalmi is in a different universe, right, than the Bavli. It's starting on the totally opposite extreme. So now, but we still don't know what Usser there is, why there should be a difference between Mikdash, because as of yet, there is no difference between the Mikdash and Gvulin. Yeah, Yonatan.
Are you saying that if there's a d'oraita mitzvah to do, that it would override any Isser that would stop it?
Ah, so very good. So Yehonatan's saying, does that mean any Isser? Well, maybe. Maybe not. Right? Probably not any Isser, except there's a very important rule here, right, which is relevant, which is ase doche lo ta'ase. That whenever there's a mitzvah, which by definition entails an Isser, so the Aseh will always override that Lav, because they're definitionally in conflict. But it's not any, right, it's not going to be any mitzvah, and any Avira, right, not, it's not always true, right, the exact parameters are super complicated. So, but it's okay, so let's go back to Yerushalmi, right, but already I want you just to note that the framing in Yerushalmi is very different, right, we should already tip you off to the possibility that the Yerushalmi, even if it happens to match up with the Havamin and the Bavli, there's no reason to assume that it matches up with the Havamin and the Bavli for the same reasons the Bavli thought it, right, it would be Usser. Because The Yerushalmi is in a different conceptual universe, right? So once it's in a different place, it can, right, it can be rejecting any of the assumptions in the Bavli, right? So the going back to the Gemara, so Avar Kahana Amrein Hagavar Rabba Dinishole. So what did he say?
Should I continue?
Yes, already say, right? Avar Kahana. Kahana Amrein Hagavar Rabba Dinishole, right? Find a big find a good person to ask. Right? That's a good question. Right? You gotta get a gadol to really weigh in on that shaila. Okay? Right, so what is the answer? Now let's get to the answer. Yeah? Atun Shalun.
Atun Shalun, they came and they asked him. Amar Lun, he said to them, Kadov Echad Omer, one place it says Yom Tua, Kadov Echad Omer, and one place it says Zichom Tua, to remember it. Haketzad, how is this? Bishashu Chal Bechol, it falls on a weekday, Yom Tua, you say Yom Tua. Bishashu Chal Beshabbat, when it falls on Shabbat, Zichom Tua, you say Zichom Tua. Mazkirin, that you should remember it, Avalotkin, but not to blow it. So it's a question of, like, how do you apply these two psukim about blowing it to our question about that you have to blow it. Like, what's the difference between weekday and Shabbat?
Right.
Rabbi Zera mifached lechaveran.
Lechaveran, right?
He met his friends.
He already met his friends, good.
Olon v'shimon klei de Rabbi Levi.
Darash.
Darash, so he told
Ulon is he came in, right? Like Allah. Visham Ein Kalei. He heard his voice. The Rabbi Levi Darash. Rabbi Levi was giving shir.
Delet ifshal, that it's not possible the who mafik mpakshte de lo ulpan, that he explained his foundation with who explained his.
Right, he's saying the let efshar duhub mafik pashate dul ulpan. It can't be that there won't be, right? Something's not going to come out interesting from this parsha, right? Right, it can't be. So he says va'al. So what did he say? So he went up va'amar.
Va'amar kumuhun.
Va'amar kumehon. He said in front of them.
Okay, so then Katav Echad Omer, one thing says, Yom Tura, but Katav Echad Omer, Zichron Tura. Haketzad, how is this? So it's the same question as before. Chabachol, Yom Tura, Vachshichon, Vashabad, Zichron Tura. That's the same question.
Good. So now, pause here for a minute, right? At this stage, if you, right, let's analyze. Before we get to the Mikdash versus not Mikdash, according to the Yerushalmi, let's go through all the possibilities. Is there any evidence so far that the Yerushalmi believes that blowing the shofar is a malacha?
No.
Right? I think that is a very unlikely read in the Yerushalmi. It's not theoretically impossible, but I see literally no evidence to assume that that's the point that the Yerushalmi argues with the Bavli on. Okay. Number two. Is there any evidence that the Yerushalmi thinks that it's us that the issue at hand is that it's usher to blow shofar?
Quite possibly. Exactly. Yes. Like I said, it might override Shabbat.
Very good. Right? As Andrew notes, it's very possible that the Yerushalmi believes there's a lav, d'oraita. Right? Because the Gemara talks about the possibility that there's an isser. It doesn't explain what the isser is. Right? But it's very possible that the Yerushalmi believes that there's an Isser. And then the question is whether or not you override it. And as we'll see in a minute, we'll get into the question of why Mikdash might be different. So that's very possible. Right? Is it possible that that's not, that the Yerushalmi isn't even talking about an Isser at all?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. So what might it be?
They might just literally be talking about allowance of the obligation of when you blow the shofar.
Right. Okay. So let's Good. So let's go through the assumptions. Right. One assumption of the Bavli is that shofar blowing might be a malacha. Right.
Could it
right?
be that Rosh Hashanah be on Shabbat about how Rosh Hashanah is two holidays at once? So you might good. Be allowed to have both holidays at once.
Very good, right? So let's go through the assumptions, right? The first assumption of the Bavli is that if it's Usher, it'd be Usher because it might be a Malacha, right? And therefore, right? If it is not malacha, then it is mutter, right? Right, it's either malacha or it's mutter, right? Those are the Bavli's assumptions. In the Yerushalmi, I see no evidence of this at all, right? I see no evidence that the Yerushalmi thinks it's a malacha, unless you think that's the iser, right? Right? I would say it's unlikely the Yerushalmi thinks that it's a malacha, right? Unless that's the implied iser at the beginning, right? It's possible that the Yerushalmi believes that blowing shofar is an iser, right? But it is overridden in the Mikdash and not overridden outside the Mikdash, but we haven't seen why that would be true yet. Right, it's possible that that's true, that this is just an iser, right? What is the nature of that iser? I don't know, right? What's the nature of that iser? If it's not a malacha, then what is it? I don't know, right? But it's possible, right? It's possible that the Yerushalmi believes, based on this line over here of Yidche, right, that there is a prohibition to blow the shofar on Shabbat, on Shabbat, and that Isser is overridden in the Mikdash and not overridden outside the Mikdash based on the Pasuk. It's also possible that by the time we get to this stage in the Gemara, it's not about Isser at all. It's simply that there is a mitzvah. Two different mitzvot, right? It's not about Isser at all. It's just that Shabbos, which falls on Rosh Hashanah, that's one type of holiday, one which is commemorated by verbal prayer. And then there's Rosh Hashanah, which is not on Shabbat, and that is celebrated by shofar blowing. Right? It's just two different holidays. It could be that at this stage in the Yerushalmi, there's no Isurim at all. We're talking about mitzvot. Right? The relevant category is mitzvot. These are two different types of mitzvot. But one way or the other, the Yerushalmi has a problem. Because if you say that blowing the shofar is usur, but the mitzvah of blowing shofar overrides the potential isser of blowing shofar, so then that should be true in the Mikdash and outside the Mikdash. And if you say that there are two types of holidays, Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbat and Rosh Hashanah that doesn't fall on Shabbat, then that distinction should be reflected in the Mikdash and outside the Mikdash. Right? You still need to explain the distinction between Mikdash and Mikdash. Good. So, Andrew, why don't you pick up on the Yerushalmi's answer to that question, or addressing of that problem.
Sure, yeah. Me'ata, from here, af the Mikdash lo yidche. Even in the Mikdash, you wouldn't blow it. Tana, we learned this in a Mishnah, be'echad l'chodesh. I don't know what the Mishnah exactly says.
Be'echad l'chodesh. Right? First of the day, meaning Rosh Hashanah, be'echad l'chodesh ha'shvi'i. That's a quote from a pasuk. Right? So me'ata afilu b'makom shen yodin shu be'echad l'chodesh yidche. Right?
Even in a place that they knew that you have to blow, they didn't blow because of a separate issue.
Good. So this language is a little bit weird. Right? It's a little bit weird. It's not 100% clear what it's saying. Sometimes you'll have this in the Yerushalmi. What I think it might be saying is maybe it's only in the Mikdash where you know that it's Rosh Hashanah. How do you know?
Because like the Beit Din and all, like,
correct, because the Beit Din sits there. So you might think that outside the Mikdash, why are you not allowed to blow the shofar? Because you don't really know it's Rosh Hashanah. But yeah, in the Mikdash, because you really know it's Rosh Hashanah, you know it's Bevadai, Be'echad L'chodesh. So then you're allowed to blow the shofar. Right? Then you're allowed to blow the shofar. But then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gives you his possibility, which is Tana Rashbi. What does Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai tell you?
He learned that you should sacrifice in a place that they sacrifice sacrifices.
Very good, okay.
Amrin HaChaverin Kumi, Rabbi Yona, Ve'ichtiv. So he was talking to his other rabbis, and Rabbi Yona said, Ve'ichtiv, and send the pasuk, Ve'avarta shofar tura b'chodesh ha-shvi, that you should blow the shofar on the seventh month. Vegomer, etc. Amarlun, he said back to them, Zo et ma'vir bar-tzechem, that this blowing should be in your land, ha-cheret, but in a different land, like in outside your Eretz Israel, lo, you should not blow it. Amrinle, they said back to him, O Nemag, or maybe we can say, Zoatem Mavirim Bartzchem, that you should blow in your land, Ha Cheret, Bein Ba'aret, Bein Ba'chol, there's no issue. I think that's what it's saying.
Issue, sure, okay, well I'll push you on that in a minute, fine.
Okay.
Amar Rabbi Yona.
If it would have said Taviru, wait, I'm trying to see the difference.
Shofar Bartzechem, Hayiti Omer Kan Mit, Umacham Achar Riba. Ela Bechol Artzechem, Kan Riba, Umacham Achar Pirate.
Oh, since it said Bechol Artzechem, it's an inclusion.
Exactly.
I'm not sure what inclusion it's referring to.
Right, meaning by Yovel, you blow the shofar everywhere, and somewhere else, i.e. Rosh Hashanah, you don't. Okay? So let's pick this apart, okay? Let's pick this apart. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Let me share screen. Yeah, Ezra, go.
Why would you think to draw a comparison between Yovel, just a regular Yovel, and Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbat?
Oh, so Ezra asked the million-dollar question, except someone tell me if he's right or not.
Because you blow a shofar on Yovel. And so
wait. Ezra, you know what, Ezra, let's start with you. Be careful.
What?
Did the Yerushalmi say what you just said, or did you make an assumption based on how you read the Bavli?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's the latter, but I don't know.
You could be right. You could be wrong. I want to know what you think.
I'm not sure.
I mean, good. That's a good answer. I'm not sure.
Okay, cool.
I'm not sure. Very good. I'm not sure either. But let's trace out what we did, okay? So let's do this again. Okay. I'll use this as my board. Okay? The Bavli made three assumptions. Okay? If there is a biblical reason to not blow the shofar on Shabbat, then, okay? One, it is due to an Isser. Two, that Isser is a malacha. And three, there can be no difference between Mikdash and outside Mikdash. Right? Okay? Now, we know that the Yerushalmi, right? The distinction is biblical, right? We know that that's what the Yerushalmi believes, right? The distinction is biblical, okay? But let's see which one it is, okay? Let's go through each one. Is it likely that the difference is because of a malacha? Again, review.
Not necessarily.
Right?
No.
Right? Right? Unlikely that anyone thinks this. Why?
There's no malacha it fits into.
Yeah. What malacha would it be? Good.
Why is it not mitakin kli?
Why is it mitakin kli? You're blowing a shofar. What are you fixing?
No one tunes a shofar.
Even if you did, that would only be derabanan. You're only using the shofar. You're not, right? You're not making the shofar. You're using it. You would have to say that.
Is it not the talking clear? You know, the different notes that you're making are, you know, different sounds. Those are different pitches.
I don't know. But it would be weird. Why? As I'm attacking Kli, you're making a sound, right? Why is making a sound a malacha, right? What, you know? It's not really makaba pati, right? Like if I sing, I'm definitely not. I make different sounds, but I'm not over a malacha. It's very right. It'd be hard. It could be, right? It could be, but right? But it's not obvious what that would be, right? So I tend to find it unlikely. I just don't know what it would be. It could be Mitakin. I never know. But like, okay, is it due to an Isser? Right? Is it due to an Isser? Right? Maybe. Right? Maybe in the Yerushalmi. Right? Based on the language of Yidcha. Right? But it's possible that the Yerushalmi, right? It could be Yerushalmi thinks that, right, the real difference is derived from a mitzvah, meaning two different identities to Rosh Hashanah, right? But now, what do we need to explain? We need to explain this. Right? We need to explain the Bavli thinks there's no difference between in the Mikdash and outside the Mikdash. The Yerushalmi clearly thinks there is. Now, we need to explain what that difference is, both if the issue at hand is Isser, and if the issue at hand is Mitzvah. Right? Meaning, if there's an Isser, so first of all, we got to figure out what Isser, right? Mm-hmm. And we got to figure out, right? Why is that Isser only overridden in the Mikdash? Yeah, go, Yonatan.
Well, it seems obvious to me, according to Yerushalmi, that the answer where they only knew what day Rosh Hashanah was in the Mikdash seems to be the only right answer, because not only would that make sense for the Yerushalmi's language, where that was the reason that they only blew in the Mikdash on Shabbos, but also, then by the Bavli, with the Takana of, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, of blowing in either the Sanhedrin or Beit Din, would also make sense, because that was where the decision of when Rosh Hashanah was made.
Good, so Yonatan thinks that, right, the difference is, right, is based on an Isser, right, biblical or rabbinic, probably biblical, maybe rabbinic, right, and the reason there is a difference is technical. Right, it needs to be the place where you know it is Rosh Hashanah, right? And this is answer one in the Yerushalmi, right? Okay, good. What about Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? Yeah, Ezra.
If you end up saying that the reason is because the difference in like it isn't is because there's a the difference is because of it, like derived from the mitzvah, and that doesn't apply on Shabbos outside of the Mikdash. Then, just to resolve the problem of the language of Yidcha, could you just say it's because isn't it muksa to use something that's so, for mitzvah?
Right, that so muksa is derabanan. So muksa is derabanan.
I know. So.
But see, Ezra, you're onto a million-dollar position here, though. But you keep being influenced by the Bavli here, right?
I'm just saying, just to resolve the problem of the language of that, because
yes,
the reason, like,
right.
the
you could,
because it would still be a derabanan. That wouldn't explain why there's a difference, but it would just resolve the problem of the language.
Yes, it could resolve Yidcha, but. Ezra, I think you keep hitting on something which Rabbi Yashif points out, right? Which I think is much more extreme, right? What does he write? He says, "Ulechora, look, this is Rabbi Yashiv." He says, "Lefizen nimtze, the yesh gam chiluk ben shita da bavli leshita da Yerushalmi." B'takana zoshet ken riyachonan zakai. Did the shita da bavli b'tkiyor elu mikayim amitzvah asay d'oraita? Uli Yerushalmi takana zu kol ikor chiyuvan midrabanan zeicher lemikdash. What does he say? Right, Rabbi Yashin says, look, he says, wait. The difference is between Shabbat and Chol is mitzvah, which means what? Right? On Shabbat, there is no mitzvah, according to the Yerushalmi, to blow the shofar outside the mikdash. Right, at all. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and therefore, what does he say? When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said it is takana to blow the shofar, remember in Yavne? He's making up a mitzvah. Right? It's not that it's right? There's no mitzvah at all. It's not a mitzvah d'oraita at all. Right? Because according to him, if you're not in the mikdash on Shabbat, there is no mitzvah to blow. Right? According to the Bavli, biblically, you have to blow the shofar. Rabbinically, you're not allowed to. But where there's a Beit Din, you're allowed to. The Yerushalmi is the opposite. On Shabbat, there is no mitzvah to blow the shofar. Right? There's no mitzvah to blow the shofar if you're not in the mikdash. So the takana is what? Is to blow the shofar, even though you're not mekayim a mitzvah biblically at all, because it's Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yom B'Shabbat, not in the mikdash.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But now we really got to explain the question is, wait a second. If there's a difference, if the reason that you blow the shofar on Shabbat in the you blow the shofar not on Shabbat is because of a mitzvah, and the reason you don't blow the shofar on Shabbat is because it is right. You blow the shofar. Right, you don't blow the shofar on Shabbat is because it's a different type of Rosh Hashanah. Then what do you need to explain?
Why?
Why? Which? According to Yerushalmi, which question is left very much unanswered?
Why is there a difference between the two?
It's more than that. It's not just why is there a difference. Why is there a mitzvah in the mikdash? Right? Meaning, if Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos is a different type of a holiday called Zichron Trua, then why suddenly in the mikdash, even on Rosh Hashanah, Shechal Yom B'Shabbat, do you actually blow the shofar? It's a different type of day. It doesn't require shofar blowing. So then why do you blow the shofar? Right? Where does the mitzvah come from? And what seems to be the answer of the Yerushalmi?
The Kraftem B'Makom.
Very good. Remember that pasuk we started with the Ramban? Right? Remember the Ramban's pasuk? I said it'll become important later. Right? Bamidbar Yod Yod? That you blow the shofar when? Let me pull it up again for you. Right? Someone read the pasuk. Ezra, read the pasuk for me. Pasuk Yud, here.
ויום שמחתכם ומועדיכם וראשי חדשיכם ותקעתם בחצוצרות על עולותיכם ועזבכי שלמיכם והיו לכם לזיכרון לפני אלוהיכם אני השם אלוקיכם.
Right, is why would you think in the mikdash you would blow the shofar? Because what? There's an integral connection between
the avoda and shofar.
Very good, because according to maybe what the Yerushalmi is saying is that you're right. Outside the mikdash, you don't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Because it's a Yom Zichron Trua, not a Yom Trua. So why do you blow it in the Mikdash? Not because of the normal mitzvah of blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, but because shofar is a chelik of the avoda, and therefore that only makes sense in the Mikdash.
So is there anything special about shofar blowing on Shabbos on Rosh Hashanah?
No, like, 100%. There's nothing, right? There's nothing different about it. According to Yerushalmi...
Why do we do anything Zecher LeMikdash?
Ah.
Why do we do stuff Zecher LeMikdash on Rosh Hashanah? Why not do that every holiday?
We do, actually. We do it on Sukkot and Pesach also, right?
Blow shofar?
No. On Sukkot, we take the shofar, we take the lulav for 7 days, even though in the time of the Mikdash, it was only a mitzvah in the Mikdash for 7 days. And on Pesach, we have Korach. Oh. So we actually do.
But is there anything special about, like, if they blew shofar all the time in the Mikdash, then why was there a takana to do that Zecher LeMikdash specifically on Rosh Hashanah?
Ah, good. No, not Zecher LeMikdash. So 1 second. Is there a special mitzvah in Rosh Hashanah to blow in the Mikdash? There is, except what pasuk is it based on? What pasuk is it based on? No, well, partially that one, combined with what drasha? The contrast between what? Between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah. That by Yovel, there's a din of shofar b'chol artzachem. But in Rosh Hashanah, right? Shofar blowing in the Mikdash is unique. Right, so let's just for a moment look through what we have so far and let's organize it, right? According to the Yerushalmi, let's summarize what we've seen so far. Right? How many different ways do we have of explaining the reason that the Yerushalmi thinks that there is a difference? So, possibility one. Okay? Let's now put everything together. Possibility one. Right? Shofar blowing on Shabbat is a malacha. However, due to either A, the certainty of Rosh Hashanah being Rosh Hashanah only in the Mikdash, right, where they are Mikdash the month, we only blow there, right? This is answer one in the Yerushalmi according to Yonatan. Yeah? Good? Right? Answer B is it's a malacha, but it's overridden only in the Mikdash because of the connection between Mikdash and shofar based on Bamidbar 10:10 and the contrast to Yovel. Right?
Are these two mutually exclusive? Can't they?
No, they're not mutually exclusive. Right? You could have a hybrid position. Right? So now, right, let's copy this. Right? The only thing that changes in possibility two is this word.
Mitzvah.
Right? Well, before we get to that, is the exact same analysis, but not...
Oh.
Right? But not mitzvah, it's iser. Right? It's just based on an iser. Right? Not a malacha, but an iser. Now, within this one, what do we need to explain? Right? What is the iser? We'll come back to that question in a minute, okay? So possibility three is what? Is that the reason for the difference is mitzvah. Right? So why is... Yeah. Right? Mikdash is different because there is, right, the aspect of avoda, which makes it a mitzvah, even when it is only Zichron Trua. Yeah?
Oops. Yeah.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? Does this follow? Does this put to, bring together everything we've seen? All the logical possibilities? Right? And you see how, right, this is just building on this. All of our different interpretations in the Bavli. And it's only a question of which assumption is being rejected. Right? Depending on which assumption is being rejected, you get all these different types of, right, models. But the problem that we still have left is...
I could all these relate to Rosh Hashanah week dinners. This implies that there, you know, two identities to Shavuot on a weekday also.
No. Well, yes. Right? Two identities. Right? Right? I think what you'd have to say is, right, on Chol, the Mikdash has two reasons to blow shofar. Right? Yom Trua plus, right?
Avoda.
Right? Whatever. Avoda, Karbanot. Right? On Shabbat, right? The first one is still gone. Right? But the second remains, leaving that to either override the Isser / create the mitzvah to blow shofar in the Mikdash.
Wait, why is the first gone in this example?
Why is what?
The first
gone. It's only Zichron Trua.
Oh, okay. Got
right?
It.
Now, what we still haven't explained is this over here, right here, which is, wait a second, if it's not a mitzvah difference, and it's not a malacha difference, it's just an isser, so what's the isser? Right? Right? Ah. Right? And what's the answer to that question? Right? What's the answer to this question? See, this is what you always got to pin down. Is it's very nice to just say it's an Isser, but then you got to figure out what Isser it is. So, it could just be, right? It could be, right? It could just be an independent Isser like Machamer, meaning there's an independent Isser called blowing the shofar. I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know. That's what it is. Now, the Rav suggested, and this is quoted in by Rav Schechter, we don't have so much time, so I'll throw it out and maybe we'll explore it more next year, is, and this requires knowing a lot of Yerushalmi, but I'll throw it out quickly, is the Rav makes the following Chiddush. Shofar has a din of tefillah, right? Tefillah, according to the Bavli, and I'll support this later, is mutter on Shabbat.
Right? So it's like a book.
Yerushalmi says usher.
Is it like bakasha or just exactly in general?
Okay. Right? Yerushalmi in Perek Tet Vav Halacha Gimel says has a unique isser to daven on Shabbat. And I'll very quickly say this. According to the Bavli, and we'll come back to it on Sunday. But according to the Bavli, why do we not daven a full Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbat?
Bakashos.
No. That's what the Yerushalmi says. The Bavli says... because...
weekday activity?
Nope. Good, you're being mechavin to many Rishonim, but no. Right? Simple pshat in the Bavli is because... it's too long. It's too long, and we don't want to make people daven for too much on Shabbat. And therefore, the Bavli says that what happens if you accidentally start saying the brachot of the normal Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbat, what do?
You finish
them, right? The Yerushalmi says the reason you don't daven long Shemona Esrei on Shabbat is because it's usur to make bakasher on Shabbat. So the Rav suggested that maybe the machloket Bavli and Yerushalmi is the following: shofar is a form of tefillah. The Bavli thinks that fundamentally you're allowed to daven on Shabbat. We just don't make you ask for your request because it takes too long. The Yerushalmi thinks it's usur to daven for your request on Shabbat. And since shofar is a type of tefillah, you're not allowed to do it in Shabbat. So why are you allowed to do it in the Mikdash? So the Rav suggested, because the Mikdash is a makom tefillah, by definition, always. Right? That's what it's called. Right? It's called a Beit Tefillah. This is a very complicated thesis, which is far from obvious for many reasons. One is the reason that Adam keeps... I keep pushing back on Adam, but Adam's right. Is that despite the fact that there seems to be Machloket Bavli and Yerushalmi on this, many Rishonim equate the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Right? Major Rishonim, like the Rambam, and Rashi, and the Olmoed, and, you know, major Rishonim, which would throw a monkey wrench into this whole analysis. But what we got to come back to then on Sunday, I guess, is this question. Is, if it's just a difference of Isser, what Isser might that be? We'll come back to the Rav's thesis and whether it's actually compelling. I held back on actually giving you the sources to read inside on figuring this out, just because, you know, I would rather you focus on the main issues and me run through it. You can see that just for myself, I put together a brief overview of this, and it is 11 pages. Just on whether this thesis makes sense. I have my doubts as to whether the Rav is correct, for 11 pages worth of reasons. I don't want to overwhelm you with the sources, so I never gave you this source sheet. Okay, but at this point, what we have successfully done, and we'll stop here, is we've outlined all the different things that the Yerushalmi might mean, right? It might be that it really thinks it's a malacha, but it disagrees with the Bavli and thinks the malacha can be overridden. It might think the same thing, but based only on an Isser. Or it might be completely different. It might be that the difference between Shabbat and not Shabbat, according to the Yerushalmi, is about two different mitzvot. And the reason that the Mikdash, you blow the shofar even on Shabbat, even though it's a Yom Zichron Truah, not Yom Truah, is because of the other Pasuk, that shofar integrates into the Avodah. Right? And that's the contrast between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah. And again, as we noted quickly from Rebbe Yashiv, one of the nafkaminas to this is that according to the Bavli, fundamentally there's always a mitzvah to blow the shofar on Shabbos, and it's just that we prohibit it outside the Mikdash, and that makes sense. The Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai said, but when there's no Beit HaMikdash, we'll waive the Isser also where there's a Beit Din. But according to Yerushalmi, you get a much bigger chiddush, which is that there's no mitzvah to blow the shofar anywhere midin Yom Truah. The only mitzvah on Shabbat that's possible is Avodah, and therefore the fact that we blow in Yavne is a huge chiddush, because we're making a mitzvah that literally fulfills no biblical value whatsoever, right? We're not leaving a biblical value and waiving it a Dirabanan Isser. We're creating a Dirabanan mitzvah that doesn't exist in order to commemorate the Mikdash, which we do sometimes. But that's a very, very different thesis than what you have in the Bavli, which is you're makayim the mitzvah d'oraita by blowing on Shabbos. It's just that we waive a derabanan isser. It's no, we create a derabanan mitzvah outside the Mikdash once the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. Okay. I hope that was clear. But as you see, I see you're laughing. I hope it was clear. Right? But as you see, right, all these possibilities only emerge from a very close analysis of the Bavli. Right? If you realize all the assumptions of the Bavli, you realize all the possible assumptions the Yerushalmi might be rejecting. Right, which leads to these possibilities. Okay, it's already after 12, so we'll stop there. We'll do a quick review of this, I guess, on Sunday, and then we'll try to tease out the Rav's position. I don't want you to kill yourself on those makarot, because there's a lot of them. So I'm not even giving you that source sheet. We'll look at the key sources, and I'll develop the thesis with you on Sunday. In the meantime, focus on the other two questions that I already sent you sources on, which is, if you do blow on Shabbos within the world of the Bavli, are you mekayim the mitzvah or not? And Rami's question, which is the Taz's question, which is, once we're worried about you carrying on Shabbat to fulfill a mitzvah, why do we only prohibit some mitzvot and not all of them? Right? Those are the two questions that I've sent you Makarot on. Let me send this in the chat just so you have it. And make sure that this is clear, because I know it's confusing. Hopefully, did I run out of space? Yeah. Okay, Anchal, here. Here's the end of that.
You sent it on the WhatsApp chat?
Yeah, I'll do that. I can do that, I guess, later. Yeah, I'll try to do that later.
That would be easier.
Yeah, okay. I will try to do that later. I can definitely send a picture of it now, but I need to... Yeah, I would need to transfer it to my phone. But I'll send a picture now.
You could open WhatsApp on your computer. WhatsApp.
I know, but right now I'm on my wife's computer, and her and it's not my WhatsApp open on the computer. So that's why I'd have to switch. Right? I know how to open WhatsApp on my computer. I just got to switch the phone that is connected to this computer. Okay? Your phone's not connected? Then I have to set it up for my phone. Ari's phone is not connected, but neither is mine. Okay, guys. Shkayach, we'll flesh this out a little bit more on Sunday. You know, I'll probably, yeah. Hopefully, I'll keep you guys updated, okay? Okay. Talk to you later.
Thank you.